A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. After Paul and Barnabas had proclaimed the good news to that city, they made a considerable number of disciples and returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. They strengthened the spirits of the disciples and exhorted them to persevere in the faith, saying, "It is necessary for us to undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of God." They appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting commended them to the Lord, in whom they had put their faith. After they traveled through Pisidia and reached Pamphylia, after proclaiming the word at Perga, they went down to Attalia. From there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had now accomplished. And when they arrived, they called the church together and reported what God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the book of Revelation. Then I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth. The former heaven and the former earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, God's dwelling is with the human race. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will always be with them as their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death or mourning, wailing or pain, for the old order has passed away." The one who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. When Judas had left them, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him and himself, and God will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. I give you a new commandment: love one another as I have loved you. And so you should also love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Today, our Holy Father, new Pope Leo, received his fisherman's ring. There's a quote from Blessed Francis Xavier Silos. I'll get to him in a minute. "The lack of gentleness never does any good, while kindness never does any harm." That's a good quote to remember, and it's a good quote for a priest to remember, because you know, when you work for the church, whether you're a priest, you're a religious, or a lay person, but when you work for the church, you have to have a thick skin. You know, be thick-skinned when you work for the church. And I'm not saying that to be bad or to be mean, no, but you know, back in the old days, they used to have this saying for when you were in formation: "Milas Jesu," you have to be a soldier for Christ. And that's kind of like an old-fashioned way of looking at the priesthood, but it's still very real. A soldier has to be trained, and you have to have the discipline in the training. And I say to seminarians and to the new priests, you have to have that discipline. I'm 30 years a priest. You have to have a spiritual father. You have to have a spiritual director. Because if you don't, you're not going to survive this. You know, and I'm not saying it again to be bad, but you really need someone to walk with, a spiritual father, a spiritual mother, priest, religious. My spiritual director is a priest up in Cleveland, the Franciscan at the seminary, Father Mike Joyce. He's been there for a very, very long time. When I grew up in my parish, St. Francis de Sales in Akron, I knew growing up only two pastors. And I wanted to emulate my first pastor, Father Francis Dieterich. And then we had another priest that moved in. He was there. He was our first assistant long before I was born. But he loved that parish so much that when he retired, he moved back. And he lived there in retirement, Father Charles Byrider. If you're from Akron or Barberton area, you'd know Father Byrider because he was pastor for a long time. Well, at St. Augustine's in Barberton first, and then St. Sebastian's on the west side of Akron. He was a very holy and very wise priest. And I always say that all the whole many vocations that we've received from St. Francis. I was like one of the first ones, but there have been a steady stream. Was because of Father Byrider. He shanghaied guys to the seminary, meaning that he was such a prayerful man that he would always, he lived his vocation. You know, I became a priest because of all the priests that I knew in the Akron area growing up. You know, Father Hilkert at St. Mary's, he was there for over 40 years. You know, we didn't have all this term limit garbage. You know, when a priest came to a parish, he stayed in the parish and he stayed for a long time. A lot of times they stayed till they retired or they died. We need to pray for our new pope. You know, that fisherman's ring that he received is steeped in much history and beauty and tradition. We hear in the gospel today, love one another as I have loved you. Why do you come here? I've said that in a couple homilies over the times that I've been with you. Why do you come here to St. Peter's or St. John's? Some of you have, you know, several generations here. You grew up here. You went to school here. You went to the school either here at St. John's. You love our liturgy. You love what we do here. You know, some of you come and you pass three and four churches to come to our churches. You know, I'll let you on a secret. If I was myself, I'd pass some of those churches myself too to come here because I like what we do. I'm not making fun of any other the churches or any of the priests because you know what? They're all working very, very hard. You know, I'm just saying I love the traditions and stuff that we do here. You know, the Holy Father is a good story. Our new Pope is a good story about vocations. You know, in a talk we had last week, Deacon Mike gave such a good and beautiful homily about listening. And we don't listen anymore, and we don't listen to the voice of the Lord too much anymore. But I would say to the married couples here, you know, who are married, you love your spouse. That's a vocation. That's a calling. My vocation was different. You know, Pope Leo, what he could have done is he had a free and clear scholarship to Harvard University. He was teaching math in Chicago, math. So, you know, so he's a brainiac already anyway. I'm kind of on the dumb side. I have the artist side. So right brain, left brain, you know how that works. You know, when you have a analytical brain, you're usually a brainiac. He could have probably been a millionaire, but he gave all that up. He gave all that up to follow Christ, to be a missionary. And I can't explain in layman's terms what a vocation really is about being called. But what I can explain is this. Some of the older parishioners might remember a movie. It's almost 60 years old. It came out the year I was born in 1966. They actually still had talking pictures back then. But it was a movie called The Trouble with Angels. And it's a movie about nuns and about two girls that they go to girls' school, an all-girls school, and they're always up into mischief, and they're always... It's a comedy. The movie's a comedy. But Rosalind Russell plays the Mother Superior, and she's tough. She's a tough Mother Superior. You had to be, you know, in those days, you know, running a school or running a hospital. You know, the women religious, a lot of times they don't give themselves credit for what they did in their life. So many of them, they ran colleges and hospitals and schools and so on. And while the movie is a comedy, there are some wonderful religious scenes. The one that I love with her, she's out and it's fall and the leaves are blowing around and she's out with her cape and that full habit and with that cape and she's twirling around with the leaves. Or in the movie where Mother Liguria or Sister Liguria dies and she comes to the classroom and she says, "There will be no class today. There's been a death in the community." And so the one girl says, "How can she be so cold?" No, she's not being cold. She's putting her vocation and she's putting the church's vocation first. First. And then the one girl sees her in the chapel when she's hugging the coffin, and she says, "Loyola, Liguori, we've made it to the last roundup." You know, that's real. It's a comedy movie, but that's the vocation that's real. And that's what I felt that I was called to by the example of the priests and the religious that I knew. In my life, you know, Father Hilkert for over 40 years. You know, when he was at St. Mary's in downtown Akron, you could go there for confession every day, because every day before he had Mass, he would have confessions. You know, and there was always a line. There always was a steady stream. You know, and so. With the Pope and the advent, you know, of the new Pope, you know, it reminds us all of our traditions. That is a gift of our church. You know, and the world is totally opposite of that. 5 minutes later, you want to throw something aside. You know, no, we are steeped in 2,000 plus years of traditions. I remember my Archbishop Stephen in Pittsburgh. One last story, and I'll end with this story. And these two parishes, these two churches, have a long, long list of vocations, of priests, of bishops, of nuns, you know, that gave their life and that still are. We still hear St. Peter's just gave Father Chad Johnson a couple years ago, you know. And the listing of vocations. And Archbishop Stephen was an elderly man when I got to know him. He was a couple years before retirement when I was in the seminary. But there was this one parish in the archdiocese there that it was reverting to mission status. They weren't going to have a full-time priest anymore. And the parishioners were mad at him, and they said, "Give us a priest. We want a priest." And in a rare outburst from him, he says, "Well, why don't you give me a priest?" That parish was over 100 years old, and not one vocation had come out of that parish. It's cool comfort. You know, and in that movie, The Trouble with Angels, one of the girls has to make a dress, a party dress. And she can't make the dress, and so the Mother Superior, she goes, she completes and she makes the dress, and she completes the dress for her. And the girl says, "This is beautiful. This dress is absolutely beautiful." And so Roz Russell, she goes, "Well, in the world, I would have been known as Madame Lafarge," or whatever her name was. And she's twirling around in the room there. But then she says, and that's the whole goal to me of that movie, "I would have been a great dressmaker, but God called me to something different. I chose something different." So only, you know, you really only understand the calling, if you will, the calling to priesthood, the calling to religious life, if you have it here. You know, if you have it here. I can't explain it any other way. You know, it's like, you know, our church and breathing with both lungs, which was Pope John Paul II, his greatest thing. In our Latin church, we're very cerebral. You know, it's a church that's a lot based on intellect and thinking, and Aquinas and Augustine and Benedict and Francis and Dominic and all these wonderful leaders and fathers and mothers of the church that we have, which is wonderful. But Pope John Paul said, two lungs. And the Eastern Church is, we like to say, ad serza, with the heart. You think with the heart. So in our church, both East and West, it's great. You can think with your intellect, but you also think with your heart. And that's the beauty of tradition. And I want to close with a quote from St. Francis de Sales that I read yesterday. We had another young man that was ordained to the priesthood yesterday from St. Francis, from my home parish. And it makes me very, very pensive. You know, these last 30 years and all the places that I've been and served, some good, some you know, but you learn to make the best of it. You know, you learn to make the best of it. But this is what St. Francis de Sales writes. "Do not look forward to the trials and crosses of this life with dread and fear. Rather, look to them with full confidence that as they arise, God, to whom you belong, will deliver you from them. He has guided and guarded you thus far in life." That's all of us that are here. He's guided and guarded us, all of us. But hold fast to this dear hand, and he will lead you safely through all trials. Whenever you cannot stand, God will carry you lovingly in his arms. Do not look forward to what may happen tomorrow. The same eternal Father who cares for you today will take good care of you tomorrow and every day of your life. Either he will shield you from suffering, or he will give you unfailing strength to bear it. Be at peace then, and put aside all useless thoughts, vain dreads, and anxious imaginations." Wonderful way to live our life every day.